Each week, we catch up with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, to look at some of the big stories and projects coming from the UK Sight Loss Charity. Great to have you again.
Nice to be here.
Let's delve straight in, Matt. I've got a few topics to talk about today. I think we're even going to get Valentine's Day in a shoehorned way towards the end of this. An important story, though. But let's kick off with a look at the cost of living. I know you want to talk specifically around smart energy.
We were sort of involved in a smart energy parliamentary event alongside a few other organisations, Carers UK, Nesta. And again, I think, you know, point we've made a number of times on this topic, but generally, you know, the power of collaboration and coming together with others. And what smart energy does is roll out smart meters, giving people a much better understanding of their energy consumption. And in surfacing that data in a more intelligible, accessible way, you know, able then to talk to users about how they can manage their use as efficiently as possible to sort of keep costs down and generally don't fall off using energy, but do it in a way where you can get what you need whilst also trying to be mindful of the cost. I think the particular point that we were keen to showcase at this event was clearly the accessible in-home display, which we've talked about a few times. It's the accessible dimension of this for blind and partially sighted people, just to make sure that they've got the same benefits as everyone else in having a smart energy meter. And, you know, delighted that there's some heavyweight parliamentarians there to really host this session. Andrea Leadsom, Jim Shaman, who's the DUP health spokesman in Northern Ireland, and Dr. Lisa Cameron, who's chair of the APPG on disability and is the SNP health spokesman, sort of attended. So I think having those three there, good cross-party sort of representation. I think there's a lot of MPs came through and we could talk to them about the benefit of the accessible in-home display and having brought a conversation about the cost of living. Interestingly, we saw this week the cancer charities come together and do a sort of social media takeover around cancer and the impact on cancer waiting times, you know, in a post-COVID world with challenges on the NHS. And I think, you know, what they've done is emulate what we did about three or four weeks ago, where we did our own social media takeover with all the BI sector charities and our DCC charity friends, you know, around the cost of living. And I think it showed we were onto a good thing when we did that, because the reach and the scale of collaborating and getting lots of people involved, sharing information, sharing stories, particularly making it come alive, is really powerful. So, you know, the smart meter event we just talked about is only another event in this great effort we're putting behind trying to, you know, inform people and support people through the cost of living crisis.
Indeed, and please do keep a regular check on the RNIB website. We'll give you details later on how to get in touch and indeed the helpline number for you as well. Let's move on to sport now, Matt. And I won't mention the Six Nations, but we are going to chat a little bit about rugby and VI rugby in Cardiff.
There we are. And I thought on the back of the result at Twickenham, Alan, you'd very much be joshing me all the time about how superior Scotland was to England last week. But I mean, joking aside about that, you know, using the Six Nations as a backdrop, we've got a very vibrant team down in Cardiff and they've had a very strong relationship with Cardiff Rugby Club, you know, one of the most prestigious, biggest rugby clubs in the UK, certainly in Wales. And what we did down there was to run a schools event, VI schools event. We had more than 70 blind and partially sighted children playing at Cardiff Farmers Park. You can add to that a whole ton of parents and teachers and spectators and carers, and the press were there as well. So big event, which was great. We think it's the first time we've done this for VI children in the UK, might be in the world, but certainly in the UK. And I think goes to show how much a club that really embraces VI understands the need to support it and to be working really hard for accessibility, not only on the pitch, but sort of off the pitch, is really going to help. And Cardiff, I think, really get this and go above and beyond and give us all sorts of other benefits. We're going to screen one of the RNIB adverts on their screens at the match when they play Sale, which will be in front of about 10,000 people in April. And I know the kids who took part not only had a brilliant time in terms of playing in the tournament, but also had great connection to the club and you know, had some time on skills and met some players and went around the stadium and went home with a goodie bag, including a mini rugby ball and shirt. And I think we also were able to get sighted attendees wearing some sim specs and trying to play rugby to understand what it was like. So, you know, that real sense of empathy and really understanding, all of which was done in Welsh and English language and was covered by different media, TV, radio and online. And I think the critical thing, Alan, for me is it's great we're getting this little sort of nucleus in Cardiff going really well. But with all the work we're doing on C-Sport differently, you know, with our partners in British Blind Sport, yeah, we're taking this model in Cardiff and seeing what a club, any sport, can do on the pitch and off the pitch to really drive that understanding of what it means to be visually impaired, provide all the support, provide a fabulous experience and fabulous learning. And I think if we could get this spread through other clubs, doesn't need to be rugby, it could be any sport, you know, up and down the country, then it'll be a, they're all fabulous sort of outposts for us in terms of really getting our point across about getting society to shift in terms of its perception about what it means to be visually impaired.
We had Howell from the radio station down there, Matt, doing some interviews with the guys down there, and it sounded as if they were all having a fantastic time, you know, parents and so on, and, you know, all the benefits, not just the health benefits of taking part in sport as well. I was hoping he was going to get on the field, but he said there were some pretty formidable 8-year-olds out there playing the game.
Oh, you're right. I mean, look, you know, I know from my kids playing sport, you know, when they were younger, these tournaments are great. The energy is fantastic. The team spirit, learning life lessons, learning to win, learning to lose, learning how to play in a team. All those things are brilliant skills. And it's just fabulous we've been able to do this, you know, down at Cardiff for all 70 sort of VI kids and all their parents and teachers and relatives and whatever else, you know, it was just would have been fantastic. So, I'm very envious I didn't make it down myself, if I'm honest.
Okay, from rugby ball to Cupid's arrow now. We're going to finish off with a look at Valentine's Day. And for anyone who's blind or partially sighted, or indeed sighted partners, you never know, a great collaboration with Hallmark.
I'm sure all your listeners, Alan, are all fully organised for Valentine's Day. But on the off chance that anyone listening is not quite ready for the 14th, yeah, I'm delighted to confirm what we just said, that we've had another collaboration this year, another partnership with Hallmark, the card company, who have basically been designing accessible Valentine's Day cards with us. And we've been working with them as an organization, you know, doing design training and working on these particular projects. Now, they did some work for us in December on Braille cards for Christmas, which we used in sort of letter from Santa packs. So we've got this relationship with Hallmark going. It's, you know, Valentine's a bit of fun. But I mean, you know, why should VI people not be able to participate in Valentine's Day as much as everybody else? And I would think this relationship will only go from strength to strength through 2023. So if you miss Valentine's Day, I'm sure there'll be Easter cards and birthday cards and Christmas cards and all those sorts of things coming down the line. But I think a sign from their perspective that they really understanding it, they need to understand how to work with different parts of society. And it's great there's this sort of collaboration with them to deliver Valentine's Day cards now.
It's an interesting point, because, you know, I normally tell sort of friends and family, and have done for a long time, Matt, you know, don't buy me a card. There's no point. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it says. But although cards, you know, they've been around for such a long time, we talk about e-cards and things like that, there's something kind of special, isn't there, about getting handed one or one coming through the post. And if it's accessible and you can read it and you can see that your friends, your family, your partner, whatever has been involved in it and their names and all that on there, it is something special.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, we all consume content in different ways, whether we're reading and you like the heft of a book, or you're happy to read it through a Kindle or an audio book. You say whether you want to consume books in Braille, you know, physical book. You know, why should cards be different? As you say, it's not only the physical card, but it's a sense of occasion around it. You know, it's the plop on the letterbox, it's opening the envelope, you know, it's a surprise who it might be from. It's just that sense of celebration, and why should you be denied that?
I'm sure my postman's mailbag will be heaving now that there's accessible cards out there for me.
You'll be needing to open wide in the letterbox, Alan, for Valentine's Day with all those cards studding onto your mat, I'm sure, but...
Oh, if only. And if you'd like any further information on any of the topics we've been discussing, including the ever-changing and regularly updated information around cost of living support, then do have a look at the website rnib.org.uk. Get in touch of the helpline as well. You can chat to our very friendly team on 0303 123 9999. Well, we're out of time once again. We'll catch up with you again next week, Matt. But thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Look forward to speaking to you next week. Yeah.